Let's continue with Lishma. So if you remember yesterday,
where are my markers?
So we noticed that for Lishma, it's clear that Lishma means something like, I have intent to bring the carbon properly. But we said intent can be related to at several different levels, right? So we had eight times, if I remember correctly, said, when we think about intent, what we're doing is we're focusing on the person, right? Is what is he doing? Then we had Akiva who said, no, the relevance of intent isn't just to define the state of mind of the person, but it provides a halachic definition to the act. And then we noted that every act can really be divided into two types of acts, right? There's the physical act that I'm doing, and then there's like the conceptual, contextual, whatever you want to call it, act, right? And we said, right, the difference is, right, like cutting is a physical act. Harvesting, right, the term harvest is a conceptual, right, description of that, where you could have, I'm cutting in two circumstances, but there's a difference between cutting your, I think our example was cutting your tomatoes for a salad or cutting it off the tree, where the act might be the same, right? But clearly one of those is called making a salad and one of those is called harvesting, and those aren't the same, right? And then there was, sometimes we have intent to define the object, right? That we use intent to view something with a particular meaning, right? Where, I don't know, right? Like, if you have an art project, right? If it was generated by AI, right? And it's terrible, right? Then a parent might not care about it. If their child made it with love, right? The intent defines it now as a piece of art, or at least something that the parent cares about, right? It defines the object, what? So then they might like it. But if you just typed in making meaningful painting for my parent, right? Onto whatever it's, Dal-E, right? It's like, thank you. It's like, create a meaningful art in the spirit of Rothko.
Sure.
I will do Rothko next. There. I have done a Rothko. $20 million. Okay. I kid you not, that's what Rothkos look like. Have you ever seen a Rothko? What?
Is it just like abstract art?
No. Rothko is a very famous painter who literally only paints two colored boxes. That's what he does. These go for like tens of millions of dollars. I have friends who really like him.
Have you seen that worth?
What?
Have you seen that worth and see how much you made?
I don't really care. Point is, that's a Rothko now. Okay? But but intent can define the object. And what we started to see yesterday was, in order to test this, we go to the opposite, the very opposite of Lishma, right? The kryptonite, as it were, of Lishma. Right, which is midasik, which is the opposite extreme of lack of intent. And we noted already in the Gemara in Kritut that the Gemara there has a machloket. Right, so again, midasik is as far as from lishma as you can get. It's the far from kavana you can get. Right, I'm doing one thing; it's defined as nothing because I was doing something else. But there we had a machloket between Rava and Abaye, where what is the classic case of midasik, where Abaye had said what? Right, this was the Gemara in Krito, number 6, right? Just to review, we said yesterday that according to Rava, if I think I'm cutting my tomatoes for my salad, and in fact I'm cutting it off the ground, he calls that midasik. Abaye calls that shogeg. Right, it's not midasik. You actually did the action. In order for it to be midasik, what does Abaye say it needs to be? Exactly, right? I thought I was picking something up on the table. Little did I know that there was a hole in the table and someone was pulling a anti-Shabbos prank, right? And I thought I was picking up, an apple from a fruit platter, right? And little did I know that underneath. It looks like these are pears that are rotted. But it looks like these are pears that are in a basket, but little do I know that there is a hole in said pear, and underneath there is a tree, and I'm really, even though I think I'm in the basement here, I'm really on the second floor, and there is a tree there, so I picked this up, and Gewalt, right, I picked it. That, Abai says, well, I wasn't cutting, I was lifting, right? I was lifting, right? It happens to me that little did I know that, in fact, I wasn't lifting. That would be mitzasik, but if I knew I was cutting, just because I didn't know I was cutting from the tree, that's not mitzasik, that's shoging. And we said, according to Rava, he defines mitzasik as the lack of a conceptual act, right? Meaning I knew I was cutting, but I didn't know I was harvesting, and therefore that is mitzasik. Abaye says no, right? Because I was doing the same physical act, I was cutting, right? That is not mitzasik. Right, which means that you see from here that Abaye fundamentally defines actions by what am I physically doing, and only if I didn't even think I was doing what I was doing, right? I thought I was lifting, right? And we talked about this yesterday with Evan. What's the difference between lifting and picking? The answer is no, there is actually a physical difference. It's not just a conceptual difference, there's a physical difference, right? There is no, when I pick up this pear, right, there is nothing pulling against my hand. It's not attached, there's no, right, there's nothing. I have to deal with, you know, the weight, and I have to have the strength to pick up a pear, but I don't have to pull it off the tree. It's a different physical act than picking, right?
Where Rava defines it on the level of, right, a conceptual act,
right, which already begins to tell us that these ideas are relevant. We were in the middle of starting to play that out in Rishonim, and then once we get these out in Mitasek, then we can reflect it back to Lishma. So if we go to Rashi, that's where we're up to in number three. Rashi in Mitasek says, Minayin Mitasek Mikachim Shu Pasul. So we're in several places, both in Zvachim Dabdalid and in Chulin Daf Yugimel, says that if you are Mitasek in Karbanot, so then it is completely invalid. Meaning not just Kashav Elo Allah, it's Pasul. Zero. Nothing. Yeah? Good. Is Mitasek in Karbanot the same as Mitasek in the rest of the Torah? That's not clear. So Rashi says, what is mitasek by karbanot? Klomar, minayin mitasek shepasul bekodshim, kigon, what is the case? Mitasek besakin lahagbio, o lizarko. I just thought I was picking up a knife, or I was throwing a knife, because why wouldn't I just throw a knife? That's great. Vishachat bekodshim, and, right, I was just like, picking up a knife, and it perfectly cut the two simanim of the cow that is sitting right here for some reason in my shear. Oh, that's mizasik. Or I throw it, and apparently it went perfectly, kacha, right, and cut the simanim. This is a very reasonable case, right? Now, I would say that it's a bird, which is more reasonable, but it's not, because this can't be a bird. Right, because a bird you kill with Malika. So the Gemara must be talking about an animal.
Not all right? Bird sacrifices are Malika. Right?
Well, yes. They're Malika. This must be, right, at least something as big as a goat or a sheep. Right? Maybe not a cow. Sure, but it's talking about a knife.
Could it not be?
You're talking about that case. It's talking about a knife. So it must be. What?
Maybe baby goats are smaller. So, like, I don't know. Cow is very big.
Look, I've never slaughtered an animal. I don't think I could bring myself to do it because I faint at the thought of blood. So, like, you know, that is beyond my ability to deal with it. Literally, at the thought of blood. I have ended up in the hospital because of that. Like, it's not like I'm very sensitive to blood. But still, right? I don't think that any animal, it's not that small. It's not like, it's not a chicken's neck. Anyways.
No, it's like, whatever.
A
cow is like this.
Oh, yeah, so not a cow. Or maybe it is a cow. Maybe you think it's a great idea to just throw machetes around, you know, like, wonderful idea. Maybe you're just crazy. You're just a, right? You are a martial artist, and you forgot you're throwing stars at home. So you decide to practice your throwing knives. slaves? I don't know. How many movies? Isn't it like all these movies, right? For some reason, it's right. Like the people who are really expert. It's like, oh, you can kill someone by throwing a knife. What? What? I mean, I assume you can do it. I've never, you know, it's not safe. Don't do it. Anyways, v'shach l'kachim shlonit kavin l'shum shchita. And what does Rashi say? Because I didn't have intent to shech anything. Aval etkavin l'shum shchita be'alma kosher elo shalol l'bailin l'shem chova. But if I meant to shech an animal, right? What? In general, in the world, right? But if I intended to shech an animal, even if it was not a karban, then that would be kosher below Allah. Good. So Rashi identifies with asek where? Where does Rava identify? Where does Rashi identify with asek?
The conceptual act.
Yeah, conceptual act, right? He says that...
No, the physical.
No, no, sorry. On the physical act, right? He says, if I knew I was shechting, right, then this would not
kosher.
Be... Midasik, right? So Rashi here. If I knew the conceptual act I was doing, right, then it wouldn't be midasik. But what would it be? Kasher v'lo Allah, which is what we call lo lishma, right? Right, lo lishma, right? Which means that Rashi says that where does he identify? So lo lishma is where I'm
shechting,
right? But lo lishma, therefore, is a case where I know the conceptual act I'm doing, i.e. shechita, but not a korban. It's not mitazik, it is lo lishma. Right, so therefore, what would lishma be? Right, that I know the conceptual act I'm in, right? If I'm missing, right, or really he subdivides, right? That further within this, there is, right, there's shechita, and then there's shechitat, kachin, right? And he says, as long as I'm doing this, it's lo lishma, but not mitaseh, right? And lishma would be that I know that I'm shechting a karban, right? But this is all in the realm of, right, the conceptual act, right?
Right.
Good. Okay, Tosfot. Tosfot thinks this is crazy. That's a good summary. Very good. So Tosu says, "Per kam the chulin peirzer kuntris going mid azik besakina lag bi lazarko v'kasha t'chiyai gav nafil bechulin pasul lirabana." He's like, "What in God's name are you talking about? That is such misas. That's such a mitasik that this isn't local to kachim. That's always invalid. That is not an act of shechita. The Gemara implies that the mitasik here that's invalid is a localized mitasik that is only bad in karbana, which implies that by chulin that would be fine." So I says, what are you, out of your mind, you really think that if I'm just throwing a knife around, right, that works by shechita of, right, that shechita of a non-kadshim animal? Come on, right? Yes, we're going to get to it. It's because it comes up here as well. But Tosa says, what is this? Yes, because the Gemara is going to ask, we deny it. Correct. So, correct. So on Daf Dalet, we're going to see it. So he says, but that would be puzzled, believe it or not. Ubo chavana, v'afil mitkaven lechaticha. Kigon zarek sakin lenoatza v'kotel, dechoshev mitkaven lechaticha. And he says, and even if you had kavana to cut. Right? Afilu achi pasli rabbanan ad sheitkaven lechatichat. Simanin. Af al gav de eno mitkaven lishchita lahatir basar vadai machshere. So what does he say?
You have to have been trying to cut something.
He says more than that. You have to have kavana to cut the simanin. You don't need to have kavana for what? To be matir the meat, right? you don't have, you have to have kavana to cut the simanim, not just cut, but cut the esophagus and the trachea, right? The two simanim that you need for shechita. What you don't need is to know that you are being matir the animal, right? Right, meaning, yeah, right, that's what he says, right? He says, the case we're talking about is, shehitkaven lachatichat simanin, the case which is valid by a non-karban, is where I am aware that I am cutting the animal's trachea and esophagus. I am not cognizant of the fact that I am doing that to permit the meat. And that is the case that is going to be valid by chulin and mitasek by karbana. Rabbanan nehi deloboy chavan lezvicha lechaticha miha beinan. Perish lechaticha tzimanin. Right, therefore, he says you need at least knowledge, not just of cutting, but of cutting the simanim. Avachaticha acheret, but other cutting, lo, dezarek sakin lenotza bekotel, but if I had kavana, I was throwing a knife, mitkavan lechatichahu, I'm just thinking to cut, but not cut an animal, upasli rabbanan. Venira hai mitazek dikachim, hainu mitkavan lechatichat simanin, velo lishem zvicha, dibichulin kacher uvikachem pasul. Okay? And therefore, mitazik by kachem is where I plan to cut the simanin. That is considered not mitazik by chulin, but by kachem, we have a higher standard. You need to be aware that you are doing shchita, right? Not just that, meaning, and that it is matzi or something. That's possibility one in Tosfot. Va'od yesh mitazik acher, and there's yet another type of mitazik, kigon mishum chulin, that I think it's chulin. Hainu kesavar shen chulin ukulu moshkot et ben bakar nafke. Right, second possibility in Tosfot is that what is mitasek by kachim? That I know I'm shechting, but what don't I know? That this animal is a karban. And therefore I think what I'm doing is shchitat chulin. So we now have three deyo. What? I don't know. It could happen.
Imagine you're a priest and your day job is to slaughter. And you're going through motions
you're a Kohen and I don't know. Right? Like,
stuff happens.
Yeah, well, remember, shechita doesn't even have to be a Kohen, so we have to pick on somebody else. Eitan?
No?
Okay. Jacob, you want no? Pick on you now? Fine, Jacob. Okay, fine. Jacob wants to have meat, so do you like meat? Are you a big meat guy? Okay, who's a big meat guy? Fine, Eitan's a big meat guy. I need a big meat guy for this, okay? So Eitan says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for Pesach. I'm going to go for Chag with my whole family. We're going to be all a regal. And for most of the meals, you know, we're all going to be eating together. So we're going to have, I'm bringing all these karbanot. I'm bringing my olot. I'm bringing my chagigot. Right? And obviously those will all eat in Yerushalayim. But he's like, look, Chag is a crazy time. Once during this Chag, you know, we're just staying through Yerushalayim the whole time. I got, you know, the best room in the David Citadel, you know, whatever. We have penthouse, plenty of room. We'll stay there the whole week, right? But once I'm taking some time for myself or for me and my wife, and we're going to go have a meal. But we got a babysitter. They're going to watch my kids, you know, at the hotel pool. And we're going to go on a little tiyul outside Yerushalayim and go on a picnic. But what's a picnic without a barbecue, right? So here he brings 10 animals. 9 of them are for karbonot and chagiga and his whole family, but you can only eat these animals in Yerushalayim. So for his teal, he brings along one sheep so that he can have rack of lamb on his picnic. I don't know. On his picnic outside Yerushalayim in Mivaseret, okay? In Gush Etzion, one of the border, Ma'ale Adumim, one of the bordering, right, suburbs of Yerushalayim, okay? So now he has 10 animals here. 9 of them are carbon, and then one of them, right, isn't. He gets mixed up, right? At some point, he thinks that he's shechting his lamb for his barbecue. Oh, who knew? It was really one of the 9 for his chagiga.
I know this isn't at all the point, but it is also to shecht kulim in the azhar, right?
Yeah, but it's a mistake. It's a mistake. We're talking at a mistake. This is a mistake here. That's what we're talking about. It could happen, okay? So now we have 3 shitot and mitasek, which is, let's say, the anti lishma, right? It's not as in anti, which is 2 negatives, but as super anti, right? Super anti lishma. So Rashi says that mitasek is where I think I'm picking up the knife, right? That's mitasek, right? I think I'm picking up my knife and not shechting at all, right? Tosfot gives 2 interpretations. One is mitasek is even when I plan to cut the simanim, but I'm not planning to permit the meat. And his second possibility is it's even mitasek, if I'm planning on shechting, right, not just not lishma, but it's mitasek if I know that it is chulin. Sorry, if I think it's chulin, I know I'm shechting, I just don't know it is a karba. Yes? Right, those are the 3 definitions we have. Now again, mitasek is the anti-lishma, but what do we have? According to Rashi, where do they find the focus of the lack of lishma, the radical lack of lishma by karma? Where is it?
In the
Rashi is, right, definitely the act. Mitasek, at least, is even lacking the physical knowledge of what I'm doing. Presumably, lishma is also located somewhere in the action, but maybe over here, right, that I'm lacking this, right? Like, if I knew that I was shechting, presumably according to him, that wouldn't be midasik, but it might be, but it would still probably be low lishma, right? According to Tosfot, low midasik is at this level, conceptual action, right, where I know I'm cutting simanim, but I don't know I'm doing shechita, and presumably for him, therefore, lishma is one step above that, which is, I know I'm doing shechita, but maybe I don't know, I'm shechita's kachim or something, right? But where do they locate the importance of intent? Clearly, this whole discussion is where Akiva had it yesterday, is in defining the action, right? What about the third day? What about the second day? So the third day that we saw, right? What was that day in Tosfot? I knew exactly what I was doing, but I didn't know that this was a karban.
Not prison stuff.
What?
No.
Think about it. Right, this is where he locates it. He says, I know exactly what I'm doing.
No.
Right? But I don't know what this is. No, it's more than that. Right? For him, the thing about his language. He says, I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't know what this is. Right? Look at his language. So good. So Evan says, well, you could say, well, he doesn't know what it is, so that changes the conceptual idea. It's possible. Think about it. His framing. Right? What? His framing is that the only lack, right, the lack here was I didn't know, not what I was doing, I didn't know what this was.
Isn't that what the person is, though? Because when the person doesn't have the Shema, he does know what he's
doing. So this is what I don't know, right? The problem here is person is a little bit ambiguous, right? Right, Tosu seems to focus here. Now it's, right? Person, I'm not sure how to define, right? Meaning, you could say that it's about the person imbuing it with it, right? The act with meaning. It's about the imbuing the object with meaning, right? Or you're just saying it's about the posture of the person when he's shechting, right? It's possible, right? But at least it sounds like Tosfot. He locates, right? The importance in the object, right? It's an awareness of what, not what I am doing, but what this is, right? What this is this a carbon? Not am I shechting, but that was his first day of, that there's a difference between am I cutting simanim or am I shechting, right? The focus was in the action. Now he says, I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't know what this is. Right? Now, you're right. Evan notes that there's a certain blurriness because you could say, well, if I don't know what this is, maybe I don't really understand what I'm doing. Obviously, there's a relationship between it. But still, it's hard to deny that Tosafot's focus is the object. But this leads us to the major question that you have in the Mefarshim, which we've been developing here, but is, what is Lishma? Right? Is Lishma fundamentally about defining what I am doing, either Eitan's formulation, my state of mind, or my act, either the physical act or the conceptual act, right? Or is Lishma different? Lishma, it's true that it's about Kavana, but what is Lishma? What does it do? It defines the object. It imbues the object with a certain status. Right? Now this is, to really make it clear, what we need to do is compare it to, as we said, compare it to other categories. So now we've talked about Mizazik, but probably the best one to compare it to is Kavana B'mitzvot, right? Which is a good parallel, because Kavana B'mitzvot, it's clear. Where is, if you say that you need Kavana B'mitzvot, where is, right, why do you need Kavana B'mitzvot? Where is the focus? The person or the act, right? We could quibble about whether Eitan's formulation is right, that the focus is in the person, right? Or if the person needs to have Kavana in order to make the act a Ma'ase Mitzvah, right? But is your Kavana creating a status? Can you? Really? Kavana, do I have to have a Kavana when I say Kriyat Shema? L'shem Mitzvah. Are you creating Shema? You're fulfilling the Mitzvah because you need Kavana, sure. Sure, am I creating, is there now a Cheftza of Shema that there wasn't before? Sure, but what is that doing? That's defining. Was it not Shema before? What? I'm not creating a status in any object. I'm not imbuing something. Right? I'm defining my action, clearly. But am I creating, right, a new chalos, a new status? I'm not. Meaning, I may not be Yotze.
It means something specific to you.
To you, sure. But was it not Shema before? Is a book? Is a book that's not read? Not a book. This is like a philosophical question. Like a tree falls in the forest. No one hears it. So no one reads a book. It isn't a book. It doesn't have meaning. I don't want to be a constructionalist, but sure. What?
It's a book, but it won't have meaning until you
read it. Really?
It
has to be true.
No. It's not as Shema as a mitzvah. This mitzvah is like Shema. It's Shema whether or not one individual decides on it. Right. We're not saying like a priori is a really Shema that there's no one to recite. We're saying like an individual doesn't recite it, it's still Kriyat Shema.
Yeah, it is Shema. You may not be Otze Shema, but it is Shema.
Right.
Right? No. Not necessarily. Right?
It was a mitzvah to offer the Korban. So the Korban before is the same as Korban after, no?
Well, no. Whatever. Is it? If I take an animal off the street, is it a Korban in potential? No, it's not. It's an animal.
Aren't all animals carbons?
Is it a carbon? Is it a carbon?
It's not a carbon.
What is it? It's an animal. Good. It's just an animal, right? If I make it a carbon, have I changed its status?
Yes.
Is that's you think that's parallel to Shema?
I guess not.
Right. It not obviously. So here is the major question that I want to introduce now, Lishma, which is. And this is a machloket achronim, and I'm not going to, at least at this stage in the year, torment you by making you read all the achronim inside, but as we go through the year, probably we'll introduce you to at least some of them. Some of the because most of Kachim is either Rashi Rambam, Rashi does it Rambam, or like jump forward to the 20th century. There's not much in between, right? So the Keren Ora, in his introduction to Kachim, introduction to Zvachim, says that Lishma is essentially a version of Kavana B'mitzvot. Okay, which means that where does he locate the importance of Lishma?
Not the
object. In the act, right? In the act, right? That just like by certain mitzvot, I'm not Yotze if I don't have Kavana. So by Karbanon, if I don't have Kavana, I'm not Yotze, right? That's where the importance of Lishma lies. The Brisker dynasty, broadly construed. So, both the Soloveitchik family and students. So, Reb Chaim in his parish in the Rambam. The Brisker of Reb Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik in his parish on the Rambam. Right? And all their Talmidim, which is basically any of the books you see at my shelf right now, because that's the nature of Kachem. So if you look in the Minchas Avram, it's a Talmud of Rav David Soloveitchik. If you look in the Midah Kodesh, it's a Talmud of Rav David Soloveitchik. If you look in Rav Lichtenstein Sefer, who is a Talmud and son-in-law of Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, right? You look at pretty much anybody in the Brisker tradition will tell you, no, the Shema is not Kavana. Well, by Kavana, the focus of Kavana is either, you want to call it the person, you want to call it the action, right? Lishma is about creating a status in an object. It's about creating a status in an object, right? Now, that's very nice, lumdishly. What evidence might there be, right? How would we test a thesis like that? How would you test a thesis like that? Or maybe it's better for me. Give me another example. Give me an example of a case in which Lishma is clearly about creating a status in the object and not about Kavana. Yeah.
I just have a little point on that. The Gemara said that how Stama could be kosher, right? Is Stama consecrated?
Good. So this is, you have a little question. No, you have the big question. Good. Where are we going to start to test it? This is why I said, right, read through the Gemara. One of the major ways that we're going to test this is a category called Stama Lishma. Right? What is Stama Lishma? What's Stama Lishma?
I mean,
who got far enough in the Gemara to see Stama? Okay, you all, right? Now you'll understand why I said read the Gemara. Okay, you saw the idea. The Gemara says under certain circumstances, there's a category called Stama Lishma. That even with doing nothing, the default is that something is Lishma. Good. And that's kosher. Right? Why?
You want to bring it as a korban?
So Eitan says, well, one possibility is to say, listen, maybe I didn't explicitly have kavana. But if I'm bringing an animal to the Beit HaMikdash, so maybe stama is a psychological assumption. Which is, if I'm bringing it to the Beit HaMikdash, so maybe I didn't really have Kavana. But I didn't, like, not have Kavana. I had, like, it was latent Kavana. Right? It was latent Lishma. Yeah, right? Or it's like, it's an assumption of your psychology. Good, right? That's one possibility. Right? But how do the Briskers explain Stama Lishma? Right, the Briskers say, we have a fancier and smoother way of explaining Stama Lishma. And that is very simple. Stama Lishma takes place at what status? At what point? When does the Gemara say Stama Lishma is kosher? Shchita. Very good. What happened before that?
I consecrated it.
So Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rav, say, I have a much fancier way of telling, or much simpler, I don't know, of explaining Stama Lishma. You know why it is that if I bring a carbon without having explicit Lishma, it's kosher? Because Lishma is not about what's in your head. You didn't have Kavana. You didn't have Lishma. Stama is about creating a status in the animal. The second you are Makdish an animal, what is its default? What is it? A Karban. So now if I Shechet Stama, if I do it low Lishma, so then we're going to have to talk about it. Because then I am actively undermining it, and we'll talk about what that does, right? But stoma is neutral, right? Stoma is neutral. I'm not trying to undermine it. Now, if lishma is about creating a status in the object, and as Shlomo notes, I was already makdish it. I'm not shechting an animal and making it kadosh by shechting it. I made it kadosh, and now I'm shechting it. And I didn't have anything in mind. Why would someone say stama lishma is kilishma? That stama lishma works exactly like lishma. So the Brisker says it's very simple. Lishma isn't about kavana. You're right. If it was about kavana, if it's about defining your act or defining the state of the person as I'm shechting, then if I don't have any kavana, I do not have in mind this is a karban, then I don't have in mind that it's a karban. But if lishma is using my intent to create a status, so then it's plausible to say that what? That if I was makdish it and therefore I gave it a certain status, as long as I do nothing to mess it up, right, it will follow its spiritual momentum to the end. If I start messing it up, which is what we call lo lishma, so then you can break the status, but otherwise, once you've sanctified it, you've set it on a trajectory, it is now a carbon. That's what it is. And therefore, when I shecht it, it's not that you have to start making up psychological assumptions that stama lishma, you really had kavana. No, you didn't. But who cares? Stama isn't about kavana. Stama isn't about what's going on up here. Lishma is about what is this thing in front of me, right? From an objective vantage point, how is this object defined and what is what I'm doing to this object defined as? And therefore they say, you know why stama lishma is kasher? Because the lishma, it has a default. And therefore, when I shecht it, by default, it is shechitat kodshin, shechitat karban, unless I start messing with it. Right? Stam is nothing, neutral. Stam. Yeah. Right, stam. I didn't do anything. Right, stama. And I asked you, what were you thinking about when you shechted this karban? And you say, nothing. And you'll be like, nothing? Like, yeah, nothing. I am an expert at meditating. I had quieted the mind. There was no verbal thoughts at all. I'm an expert. Right? This is like the first steps of meditation, right? Is before you think about anything, is quiet the verbal, right? We all think verbally, quiet. The verbal things come in contact, right? Come in contact with just the sensory expression, that's your sensory things without any words. All I felt at that moment was the metal in my hand and the pressure going to the animal. Nothing. I thought nothing. I don't know, whatever, right? Or he says, no, I'm not that holy. I was thinking about lunch. Right, I wasn't thinking about anything. I was thinking about lunch. I'm hungry. No, what were you thinking about what you were doing? I wasn't thinking about what I'm doing. I don't know. Right? I was on autopilot. Right? I was just cutting because I was waiting to the end of my shift. Right? I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about it's Thursday. It's falafel day. That's all I could think about. The falafel is really good. It is. What? Right? Right? It's good falafel. So that's all I could think about. What? It is, hands down. But it was Thursday. Well, what could you be thinking? How could you think about a carbon at a time like this? It's falafel time. Like, I don't understand, right? Stama, you had no cup. I wasn't thinking about carbon, not carbon, nothing. I was thinking about french fries and falafel and pita, which from the vantage point of carbon is nothing, right? Stama lishma, stama lishma, right? So the Brisker say it's very simple, right? So if I want to give names to it,
the Teren Ara, for example, identifies Lishma with Kavana B'mitzvot and therefore finds the importance of Lishma here at defining the act, just like by Kavana B'mitzvot. And therefore, how is he going to explain Stama, right? Here, if we have not failing out that we're going to get to, for the record, I don't know how many of you. Grammatical point, okay? Ramification in Aramaic
is a nafgamina. What does nafgamina mean?
Difference, practical.
That which comes out from this, right? A practical ramification. In nafgamina, yeah. Right? In yeshiva, when you have plural, they'll also tell you nafgaminas, right? That is grammatically a little bit atrocious. I mean, sure, but technically it's nafgamina because it's things plural that come from it. It's still coming from one thing. So it's not nafgaminas, it's nafgamina. It's multiple things that come from it, right? So ramification number one is, right? So one is stama. There are two ways to go. Is it what? That we are making a psychological assumption that you mean what you, right? That you mean something that you didn't say you mean. Or, no, the status exists, right, and continues, it's kept. Right? And that's why it's kosher. It's not that you had kavana, you didn't. Who cares? Right? It's only if you mess it up that it's going to be a problem. Right? So the Karen Ora says it's this, and this is Kainan, the grizz, right? And all briskers. Okay? This is the all briskers. Okay? They all love this. They all love this. Okay? Now, again, how are we going to test this? So one is to analyze the sugya of stama. Some of you got to the top of Daf Bet. Another way we're going to analyze it is the Gemara starts playing with stama lishma and says, oh, the way that a karban is stama lishma is not the way that a woman is stama omed legerushin and contrast get, which means that the Gemara gives you a test case. Karban is different than divorce. So what do you need to do? Figure out why, right? Depending on how you explain the difference between divorce, the divorce case the Gemara brings, and the carbon case, you can be able to figure out, well, right, based on how we think the difference is, we're going to start to be able to define, lishma, right? Similarly, we're going to say, you'll come up with lo lishma, right? Which is, in the explanations of how and why lo lishma messes up a carbon, we're going to see, well, what is that? Is it the lack of lishma, right? That stama has a psychological assumption, but one thing that's negative, or there's a status and somehow lo lishma messes it up. We have to figure out how. We will need to test the sugyot of lo lishma, right? So this is what we're going to have to do. And as you, right, the reason I said run through the sugyot is because, right, you see the types of questions the Gemara is asking that are going to be the test cases as we go along. Now, just to make your lives more complicated, right? And this is the favorite brisker move. Briskers love, as much as they love chakiras, they love something even more, which is when both sides of a chakira are both true, but in different cases. And then in Yiddish, they call that, no, svei dinim, right? Which just means two dinim, that's all it means, yeah. Which means that there are aspects of lishma that are model 1, 1A and 1B, or 1, 2A, 2B versus 3, right? The person, the act, rather than the object. Is there any reason to believe this, or is this just fancy lumdas for the sake of fancy lumdas? Well, except there is this slight problem that that having multiple models might be helpful because of a slight problem. And that is, how many types of lishma are there?
Six.
Well, if you were reading the first mission of Zvachim and had never read the fifth parak, how many types would you think there are?
One
or two. Four. If you were reading Daf Mem Vav, how many do you think there are?
Six.
Six, which means, well, so what's the connection between Daf Bet and Daf Mem Vav?
Well, it explains what kind of lishma there
is. So you could say it's just clarifying, right? That's just clarifying. That we wait, except why might you think that it's not just clarifying? Because what happens if you don't have all six of those lishmas?
Then it won't make sense.
No, halakhically, what happens? Is it? Which one? Ah, the Gemara says it depends. L'shem bailim, l'shem karban, right? Those are important. What about l'shem reyach and l'shem nichalach?
Probably not important.
They're important, but the Gemara already tells you that those are only l'chatchila, which means that what happens? Right? There's good reason to believe that there are different types of l'shma, some of which, without which, invalidate a karban, and some of them are better to have, but don't invalidate a karban. The second we start knowing that there are actually different types of l'shma, in the Gemara, on Bet, Dalet, and Memvav, right?
It's always possible that the more important lishmas don't hear,
right? Because without them, they don't. The object is not defined as a karban. And then, just like by mitzvah, it's better to have kavanah, but it's not always ma'akev, right? You could have types of lishmas that are closer to kavanah and therefore only ideal, right? And this is what several of the mafarshim assume, is that lishma is not a single thing. The reason the Gemara presents it in different places is because there are different types of lishma that are accomplishing different things. So we're not just going to have to look at different test cases, we're also going to have to ask whether all lishmas are created equal, right? Which it's not clear they are, and not just because we're being fancy, but because the Gemara separated them by 45 blot. Not technically true, technically the Mishnah separated by 4 prakim and then the Gemara comment, but fine. Okay, I'll oversimplify it for this for the moment. Okay. Let's flesh this out a little bit more. Let's flesh it out a little bit more. Look at the Ramban in 7. The Ramban in 7 says as follows. Deshochet kachem l'shen chulen ksherim. Ve'olin l'bayelim l'shem chofa. If I shecht a karban as chulen, it is kosher, and it even counts. Right? It even counts. Vafilu chatat. He thinks that's true even in a chatat. Even a chatat, which we saw in our comment is vachem. Who would in lizorek? And that's true not of shechita, but of zrika. So now you'll tell me how. V'afal gav dimit asek b'kachim pasul. Even though we said mit asek by karban is completely invalid. Right. Now he jumps. Why is he bringing up this sugya? Because what mesecht are we in? Is he in? Rosh Hashanah. He's talking about tkiyat shofar. He says, "Hachanami mitasek b'mitzvot l'kulei amal lo yatsa." Even if you hold like the position that when you're mitasek by mitzvah, no one thinks you're yotze. Dafilu man yom mitzvot ein tzricha kavana. Because even if you don't need kavana, what can't you do? Be mitasek. Remember, we said there's different levels. There's mitasek, which is nothing, and then there's lack of kavana, which is something, right? It's more. So he says there's a machloket about mitzvah tzricha kavana, whether you need kavana or mitzvah. But there's no machloket about mitasek. Right? Kavana tkia b'inan. Uvikajim nami b'inan kavana shchita. And by karbanot also, you need kavana of shchita. Al kavana de mitzvah vikajim lo b'inan. But you don't need what? Kavana of mitzvot by karban. Good. So now, help me unpack what the Ramban is saying, right? So the Ramban starts with mitzvot, and he says, by mitzvot, there's what?
Requirement for
kavana. So first there is, right, requirement for kavana. Okay. Well, no, there's a machloket where there's a requirement in kavana. What is there definitely?
You can't be
mitasek. You can't be mitasek. Good, right. First point is, there's a machloket about whether you kavana. Everyone agrees that you cannot be mitasek. Okay? Good. That's the first point that he makes. Second point he makes is the mitasek that we have by mitzvot is the same as karbanot because he brings evidence from one to the other. That's the second point. His third point is at which stages of the avoda does he require? No, what does he say? Shchita v'hua din lezrika, which means that he thinks that whatever is true of shchita is true of? Zrika. Of zrika, which, right, meaning he thinks that this is, right? This is in, right, so, first of all, if I had to guess, according to the Ramban, does the Ramban think that lishma is fundamentally different than kavanah b'mitzvot? Probably not, right? Because he is deriving from kavana and mitasek freely from karbana to mitzvah, right? And his case is blowing a shofar. By blowing a shofar, is it possible to talk about creating a chetza shel shofar because I had kavana blowing? No, like it is or it is not a shofar, right? The Ramban seems to fall in the camp that lishma is similar to kavana b'mitzvah, right? Now, if you think that kavana, that lishma is like kavana b'mitzvot, then how likely are you to assume that lishma will apply by all the avoto?
You're likely.
Likely, why?
Because they're not, because all, you need all four of these.
To very good. Is because if lishma is another way of saying you need kavana, and all four of these avodot are necessary for the karban, so presumably, whatever kavana you need, whatever lishma you need in all the avodot. But, remember what we said? What if you think lishma is not about kavana, it's about creating a status? It's about creating a status. When is that most important? Right, at the beginning, right? Because the more you made sure that that status existed when you started the process, the less you need to actively imbue it with that status later because it can go on, it continue on its spiritual momentum, right? It continue on its path. So if you look at the Rambam in 8, right? The Rambam doesn't say explicitly, but he says, Shochet ha kachim lo nitgaven le shrita. The Rambam identifies this rule of mitasek, which is the anti-lishma, only where? Shita, only in the beginning. And only the beginning. The first of the four avodot. Right? So the briskers again point to the Rambam. They say, wait a second. If it's kavana, so why should you distinguish between the avodot? If lishma is just another way of saying you need kavana, you need to have kavana as you're performing it, so or each of the four avodot a mitzvah? Yes. And if you need lishma to qualify the act, why should shechita be different than halacha or zrika, right, or kabbalah? Doesn't make any sense, right? These are all mitzvah acts. I need to define all the acts as mitzvot. So whatever I need throughout. So you look at the Ramban. The Ramban, first of all, is comfortable going back and forth between mitzvot and karbanot. And second of all, he seems to think that whatever kavana you need for all the avodot. Well, that makes sense if you're thinking about kavana, about lishma, the way you think about kavana, that it's just the psychological state I need to have to make sure that the act I'm doing is a mitzvah act. So then what's the difference between shechita and zrika? Who cares? But if you're thinking that, no, lishma isn't about having kavana b'mitzvot. It's about bequeathing a status to the karban. Then you need it at the early stages. But once it is kodesh, it is a karban, it is a chatat, then even if I don't actively have in mind, it can run on autopilot because I gave it its status. And therefore, the most important moment is not going to be, it's not obvious that you would need lishma at all the avodot. It's only obvious that you need lishma at the beginning.
I mean, this isn't a major break point, but I mean, why is it by shechita? Why is it once you?
Well, shechita is the beginning.
But, I mean,
but even before that, you're right. Meaning, well, right, you would come to this thing where technically you don't even need it by Shechita as long as you were in Stam.
Right.
But then, right? But in order to figure that, you need to come back to the stomach question, which is what does it mean stomach to lishma, right? Does stam count as lishma, or it says I don't need lishma, right? We're going to get to that by stam.
I mean, you don't know what Rambam says about lo lishma.
We haven't gotten to lo lishma yet.
Right.
Right. There's lishma, there's stama, and there's lo lishma. Okay. We're not there yet. Maybe. That's what we're going to see. You would think, but it's not obvious. Right? So again, the Karen Ora, probably the Ramban, think that Lishma is similar to, not identical, but similar to Kavanah B'Mitzvot. It's about defining the state of the person. It's defining the act. Whether we're talking about the physical act or the conceptual act, it's about the act. Therefore, Nafkei Mina, one, is how easily can I compare Kavanah B'Mitzvot to Lishma? For the Ramban, pretty freely, because these are all different ways of having intent. If you think that lishma is about creating a status, then kavana b'mitzvot is one thing. Lishma is something completely different. Right? And therefore, the halachot of kriyat shma are not going to help me by karbana. Second point is how likely is it? Well, no, not according to, right? If you think that lishma is about creating a status in the object, so then that's not like kavanah b'mitzvot, where I'm not creating a status, I'm not creating a kriyat shma, I'm saying kriyat shma, right? So then the halachot of kavanah b'mitzvot are not going to be easily interchangeable with lishma. And the second is, you might not expect to see it by all the avodot. Because if you're thinking about kavanah b'mitzvot, so every one of the avodot is a mitzvah. So if I need it in one, I need it in the others. But if stama is about creating a status, the most important moment for creating a status is the beginning, when I give it its status. After that, it's much easier for it to run on right, to run on automat, right? Automatic. Automat. It's Hebrew. Automat. Hebrew is a lot of words that are just in English, and then you just say it like that. Sometimes you can get it like automat, and sometimes it's the weirdest things that you'd ever, like, right? Like the weirdest one in Hebrew is the back axle of your car is back axle, okay? But that's fine. The front axle is the back axle kidmi, is the front back axle. I kid you not. That is what it is. It is the back axle kidmi. It's like, yeah, anyways. You don't. Did I say you had to?
How do they
justify it? So we're going to see it as we go through the sugya, right? This is like, we're going to see it in Dalit and Mevav. Part of it for them is the Rambam, right? But part of it is the sugya of Stam, right? The major evidence for them is Stam, right? Is that the Dionim around Stam, right? Where the Gemara says you don't actually need it to be Lishma, right? Stam Lishma. And the Gemara is very careful comparisons between other sugyo, right? Part of their proof emerges from that, and particularly the sugyo that we'll see once we get to Lo Lishma in Psachim, where Lishma seems to very much be not psychological, right? I'm not telling you to buy anything yet. Right now I'm showing you models and potential places. Their biggest proof is the sugyo in Psachim Daf Samach, because there, the Gemara is going to mess with your head by having karbanot that will simultaneously have a dual status. And that dual status will be? Lishma and not lishma. Very good. And that's when the brisker starts saying, wait a second. If you're dealing with psychological assumptions, either I have kavana or I don't have kavana. But to say that something is bequeathed with a status, it has a status of lishma and not lishmanis. At the same time, that sounds... Now, they have other evidence. So, for example, Reb Chaim has another piece of evidence, such as in other areas of Halacha, right, they give another parallel, which is Ketivat Sefer Torah. where it is very possible in halacha that you need lishma for ibur, but you don't need lishma for ktiva. That you need lishma for the the processing of the parchment, but not for the writing. Now, why? Right? That's counterintuitive. The writing is more important than preparing the parchment. What?
Without the parchment, there would be no...
Correct, but parchment isn't Kodesh. It's only Kodesh once it has letters. Right? If I just have parchment, it's not. It's nothing yet. What? That's true. But if I had to guess which one was more important, I would say...
Right.
But Reb Chaim says, aha, but from the vantage point of not Kavana, but the vantage point of creating statuses, so it could be, well, once I make the parchment lishma, meaning I define this not just as parchment, but I make it into parchment for the sake of the Ketivat Sefer Torah, then it could be that I have less demands on how I'm thinking when I'm writing, because it's now set you into default. Right? It's set a default, and our writing will have... Right, but I'm not asking you to buy any model yet. Right now, I'm presenting models. Right, what we're going to have to keep our eyes out for on Daf Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and Memvav is as we see the figure of Stam Lishma, as we see the figure of Lo Lishma, as we compare the Lishma of Karbano to Lishma of Gittin, right, and things like that. We're going to have to test the theses. Right, that's going to be a lot of what goes on in Kutchim. Right, is you have to have the models, but then as you go through the Gemara, you've got to test it. And I'm out of time. Fine, I'm not actually behind. I actually did not think we would cover this in one day or even 2 days. Like, I'm setting up models that we'll see, that we're going to test through many, 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 many sugyot, that will take us for several dapim. We'll stop there. Even though falafel's not here yet, but it's